Microsoft announced the Xbox Game Pass and even added a few more games to the preview this week. Plus, the Oculus Rift is now cheaper. Is it ready for you to buy? Tonight is March 12th, 2017, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
A Star Wars Racer arcade machine was spotted at a theater by Tiger Claw. And then SHA 100 Matt says, that's 17 years old. I'm feeling really old at the moment. I'm feeling old, too. Because, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is 20 years old now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to an old edition, or new edition. The Nintendo Switch, by the way, is 1 week old, of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history, and that includes 17-year-old arcade machines, about pod racing on this podcast. Hi there, I'm Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network, welcome. Head on over to chat or live.vognetwork.com and join our chat room. Where Sky is even saying the good news about me feeling old is that everyone else get to feel old about the same thing. That's right. And because Orange Lounge Radio, it's going to be 15 years old. And this show is like 11 and a half years old. Wow. At least Star Wars Racer Arcade is older than this show. So you can join us over at live.vognetwork.com and tell us all how old we are. And you can also check into the show if you are logged into the site, just like Master of the Claw and William Murderface, who checked in at some point during the intro of the show. How old is Metalocalypse? Like, that's got to be pretty, like, that's older than we think it should be, too. Like, isn't that, like, at least 10 years old or something? I don't know. If you want to check in, you can on your own podcast feed. There will be a passphrase somewhere rudely interrupting the show. Remember that passphrase and put in that word on the site, and you can get the exact same amount of points and love and not feel as old as the rest of us. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can comment on this episode over at vognetwork.com, which we actually did get a comment 2 weeks ago. I do look back several episodes because I know they get posted late in the week. We actually did get, so I know I didn't mention the Nintendo Switch at the in the little intro because I really do. That's forcing me to get to like non-Nintendo stuff today, which I didn't do yesterday. But we are going to start by talking about the Nintendo Switch. It's selling really well, according to Nintendo. If you believe Nintendo, I think like they even said like it's outselling the Wii in the Wii's first week. Like if you compare the first week numbers, the Nintendo Switch has sold more. Which is great. And, I'm, seeing a lot of empty shelves, which could be both people have bought everything or Nintendo's not restocking them. But I did get a Pro Controller. I did finally get a Pro Controller. So I know last week I talked about how, I was watching people sell the Pro, buy the Pro Controllers, people behind me in line. I tried to get some sympathy for it, but then Amazon, who finally have delivered the Switches to people, I couldn't really get too much sympathy. So what I was doing is during the week, I'm like, well, maybe I can pre-order it. And here's the problem with pre-ordering a Pro Controller, like on Amazon, you can't do it because scalpers are selling the Pro Controllers on their Amazon store accounts. So Amazon says, yes, it's in stock for $150, but it's also on Amazon Prime, so you'll get free shipping. Hooray! I couldn't pre-order it on Amazon. So I started looking around. I'm like, okay, well, why don't I go to, Target's website, okay? And I looked on Target's website, and they actually have the Pro Controller. And the nice thing about this is you can't I'm going to say it's nice, and you're going to be like, how is that not nice? You can't order it online, and you can't order it for in-store pickup. The reason that's a nice thing is because they tell you if a store has it. And the nice thing about me, I live in Atlanta. I actually don't live in Atlanta. I live outside of Atlanta, but it is essentially the metro Atlanta area, which encompasses like a 40-mile radius around the middle of Atlanta. Like, I think I'm like 30 miles from the center. Like, if I wanted to drive from my house to the center of Atlanta, it's 30 miles. What that means is that I am pretty much on the line in that circle between suburb and rural Georgia. And I went to Target's website, and all the Targets in Atlanta, in like that, in that 30-mile radius, they were all sold out of the Pro Controllers. But I just went 10 miles north and, you know, all, you know, into like the next county north where it's, you know, we're getting into farmland territory. And I go in there and their Target had them available. And it's actually closer to my house than like going down to downtown Atlanta. And so I went on like my lunch break on Thursday. I'm like, well, you know, maybe the site's wrong. You know, the site might have been wrong, but considering that it showed no stock in most stores, limited stock in another store, and like available at a couple stores that were outside of this metro radius, I was like, I'm going to take a chance. And it was like a lunch break. So I'm like, oh, it'll take me about, you know, 15, 20 minutes to drive there. Big deal. And I went up there, and they had two Pro Controllers on the shelf, locked, you know, but, you know, so I had to find somebody to go unlock them. And so I was able to get a Pro Controller, and I had to go into rural Georgia to get it, but I got it. So that's kind of one of the nice things about living on that line. And the person who was working in the electronics department was like, so what's the Nintendo Switch anyway? So I did get a Pro Controller. It feels really nice. Like, it... I'm not going to say it feels $70 worth. It feels like it's $70, but it is a really nice controller. It's weighted. It's got some of the best weighting. It's weighted really well. The buttons feel really nice. It's probably now my favorite of the standard style controllers. You know, and this that includes like the Xbox One and the DualShock 4 and all that stuff. It feels really nice. Is it $70 nice? I'm not upset I spent $70 on it, but I can say that it is a very nice controller. And JD even says it's over. He loves the Pro Controller, but it's overpriced. And but it is very, very nice. It's not like a skimpy controller or anything like that. And apparently, I looked at this today. I saw this story. It was posted a couple days ago, but I looked, and it's true. If you do have a Switch Pro Controller, get a flashlight and hold down, like, don't have it plugged in or anything, or don't have the Switch on, just hold down on the right thumbstick and shine that flashlight in, and if you get, you can look, if you look at the very correct angle, like, dead on through the opening between the thumbstick and the plastic around it, you'll actually see a message. They actually put a message. It's probably on the motherboard, and you can just see that motherboard, just see that little bit through there. But, like, take a flashlight, hold the right thumbstick down, and look at kind of the top of the thumbstick, and you'll see a message. Sky asks, does the Pro Controller HD rumble? Maybe not as carefully as 1-2 Switch, but other games. There is rumble in it. I haven't, but Fast RMX did rumble. So when I was playing Fast RMX with it, it did rumble, and it seemed like it rumbled left and right. I don't think it's as full on as HD rumble. That may also be why it's $70 if it is. But it did seem like it had some location based rumbling. But I didn't. I probably need to do that where I like play like Fast RMX with the Joy-Cons in the grip, and then play it with the Pro Controller and see if it feels. Yeah. So I may have to do some more testing on that. I've just got it. William Murderface asked, did you have any issues with the Switch dock scratching the portable screen? No, but I did break a portion of my Switch right after the show last week. and it was because of the doc. So essentially, and this is also going to kind of promote, I streamed last Sunday. Since Rob did not do a post-OLR stream, he allowed me to take the spot, and he was able to watch. And I streamed some fast RMX. And I had the Switch down here with me when I was doing the show and when I was listening to OLR. And so I'm like, well, I got to go put it in the dock. And so I take my Switch up, and I start trying to put it in the dock, and it's not exactly going in right. And I'm like, I got to and then I hear a snap. And then it goes in the dock, and I see something flying. And I'm like, what was that? And I look, and I pull it out, and I notice the kickstand is gone. And then I reach, like, and I find it, like, on the shelf, because I've got the dock on the shelf, and I reach back, and I find the kickstand. So the kickstand was out ever so slightly. And because it was out, it was not allowing me to, and ActDeft even says it's a good thing it's just clickable. Yes, I was able to snap it right back into place. It works, I would say it works fine, but it is the Nintendo Switch kickstand, which does not work fine even when it's working in fully working order. It works as intended? Question mark. It works as if it was a new Switch out of the box that was perfectly fine. But yeah, so I did break the kickstand off, and it snapped right off. Dungeon Buster says, "R.I.P. Bobby Switch kickstand, 2017 to 2017." Yes, it took me 3 days to break a portion, but the screen, no issues. I have no dead pixels. I have no scratches. The dock is not bent, so it's not scratching the screen. I have, I guess I have one of those mythical perfect Switches, which if you read, like, Reddit or you read news sites, like, every Switch out there is damaged in some way, and there's no such thing as a perfect Switch. Well, I have one, and you can't have it. It's mine. Derek Law says, "Can Nintendo replace broken kickstands if it's under warranty?" I'm sure they can, but like I said, it pops in and out. It's got a little spring in there, and like nothing else on the kickstand broke. Like, it didn't snap in half; it just came out. And so I was like, popped it right back in, and that's all I had to do. Brad from PodCulture says, "I remember Rob talking about the Wii U stand. Happened to find mine randomly the other day. I talked about it too. I talked about using the Wii U stand in place of the kickstand as well." Now, granted, I stole it from Extifer, host of Guys in the Show, but I was on an hour before OLR. So you give me my credit for stealing from Extifer first. And Rob even says he didn't talk about it. That was all me. Now you think I'm... Now Brad thinks I am Rob. I mean, that's cool. Rob's a cool guy, so I'm cool with that. But I did stream Fast RMX for about an hour. I even did a little bit of the online. So you can try that. I even talk about my broken kickstand on that because it happened like as I was trying to dock it to plug in my Elgato. So I did stream it for about an hour, had some fun. I actually did. I placed a lot of thirds until I went online, and then I started getting first place. So apparently people online suck more at the game than the novice AI. But I did get to do that. And one thing I did want to say, the reason I know my kickstand works is because I did actually have to use it. I did a gig. I'm a professional gigging musician doing a marching drum line, and we had a corporate gig, and one of the other people there wanted to see the Switch because he unfortunately can't afford it right now, but he's a huge Zelda fan, so I brought it with me, and so he could try Zelda on the Switch. And other people were like, "Oh yeah, I heard this crazy thing about how you can feel ice cubes, and that's just a bunch of marketing bullcrap, and I don't believe it and stuff." And I'm like, "Oh really?" So I had 1-2 Switch with me as well. So I popped out the kickstand, took out Zelda, put in 1-2 Switch, unattached Joy-Cons, and basically went straight to the marble counting game, which is the one where you're basically, the Joy-Con is this box, and you're trying to guess how many marbles are inside by rolling it around and feeling how they hit on the side. And I had them try it, and for about 30 minutes, everybody in there decided to have a go at 1-2 Switch, and it actually sold a Switch on somebody, and actually sold, one of the other people actually had a 1-2 Switch, or had a Switch, only had Zelda. He played that, and he's like, "Yeah, I might have to get 1-2 Switch now." And I'm like, "Yeah, there's 30 games in here, or 28 games." And he's like, "I didn't know there were that many." So we may laugh at 1-2 Switch, but it does really well. And I know that some people are like, it should have been a pack-in game, but unfortunately, what we learned with Nintendo Land and the Wii U is that people would complain and want $30 or $50 less on the price without a pack-in game. They wanted to choose their pack-in game. So either the Switch would have been $350 with the pack-in, and people would have been like, well, why didn't they release it without a pack-in and sell it for $300, which is exactly what they did. But some people were like, well, they should eat the cost and basically say the Switch is $300 with this pack-in. Then people would say, oh, well, they should release it without the pack-in and have the Switch be $250. So they did what people probably would have wanted them to do, which is release the game without a pack-in, or release the system without a pack-in, which is what the PS4 and the Xbox One do at launch, and let people choose the game that they want and spend that extra $50 for a game. And I don't think that was a bad decision, because not everybody's going to want 1-2 Switch. Dungeon Buster says, I remember when we had no choice on pack-in games, and we were just happy to get even one. So that was a little bit of early in the week. And then this week, the Switch doubled their library online. So everybody's like, there are no games at launch on the Switch. There are, believe it or not. And there were even more. It's like it seemed like the eShop library doubled. Most of the games were actual, like, Neo Geo games. So not exactly Virtual Console, but, you know, classic game, 32-bit era games on the Switch. But I did, and also Blaster Master Zero came out, which is, I guess, I didn't get that one, even though I did like the original Blaster Master as a kid. But it's basically a reimagining of Blaster Master, which has gotten a lot of good reviews and a lot of people like it. But I picked up the other game that came out because you know that I like these kind of games, and I haven't played these kind of games as much on, like, mobile platforms, which is where they're really thriving. But the rhythm action games, the music games, I've always been a fan of the games where you don't have to use your feet in terms of this. So, you know, I haven't really kept up. So I haven't heard of this game, even though I know it's been out. But it just came out for the Nintendo Switch, and it's called, I think it's Voez, V-O-E-Z. Not V-O-E-S, V-O-E-Z. I misspelled it V-O-E-S the first time. This is the game that came out in Japan. I didn't think it was going to come out here, but it did. Like, it's very Japanese. It's extremely Japanese. But this is the game that requires the touchscreen. You cannot play it on the TV. It does not accept any controller input for anything. Sky says, I've been saying it like voice. That's probably correct. It's probably voice. Or voice. But this is a rhythm action game where the notes fall from the top, and you basically tap at the bottom of the screen to tap or hold or swipe or whatever. And it's got 100 extremely Japanese songs in it. In fact, there's a lot of Japanese text in it. It is fully in English. Like, you can read the menus and stuff. So it's not like you can't play it, but it is very Japanese. You're not going to find any, you know, pop songs from America on it at all. All the lyrics are in Japanese and everything. But the gimmick with this one is that where you tap on the bottom, where the notes fall, changes. And they dance around, and they say that the note chart dances to the music. And so, like, you might be ready to hit that note, and then it'll be like, no, that note chart's actually over here, and it zips over there. So, I've only been able to do, like, 5 or 6 songs, and I did them on, like, all the different difficulty levels. There are 3 difficulty levels in there. And I'm excited to get to play it more. I know there is a free demo of it on the iOS and Android app stores, so you can try it there and then pay $25 on the Switch for it. The only downside to this game is the fact that there are notes where you have to swipe or you have to hold, and like the note will move as you're holding it, so you have to follow it. And what would happen, and this is probably also because of me, this might be a personal problem, but I don't think so, is that as I'm trying to, like, move my finger to the right, the Switch will actually move to the right. Because it's, you know, it's because the way you play it is you have to set it on the table, and then that way you can use both hands. Because you actually need to use both hands and, like, all 4 of your finger, all 8 of your fingers that aren't thumbs. You can use your thumb, too, if you really want. But that's how you have to play it. So you can't be holding the Switch with one hand and then doing, you know, and doing the things. And so the Switch would actually, like, slide. I was holding down too much, and so the Switch was actually trying to slide across my table as I'm trying, and then my finger's not moving, so I lose the note. So if you play it, you need to find some way to kind of anchor it, like maybe get, like, some really heavy textbooks on either side of the Switch, and that way it just anchors it in position so it doesn't slide around. But that's kind of the only difficulty in terms of playing it, other than the fact that then a whole bunch of notes start coming down, and it gets really insane. Sky says, I wish I had something more like, you know, more competitive with friends, not like hardcore, but there's leaderboards, and here's how your friend did on the song. Apparently the phone and tablet versions actually have, like, multiplayer, like online multiplayer and stuff. So there's no multiplayer in this. There's no leaderboards, even though all that existed on the phone version. So I don't know if this is another, you know, rushed product that eventually they may patch in. Like Fast RMX is going to get more stuff patched in. I don't know. But I was pleasantly surprised with the little bit I've been able to play it. It is $25 on the eShop right now. And it's got like 100 very Japanese songs in it. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase DIME. So the other thing that came out this week that I wanted to kind of mention and kind of not rant, but you know, say why did I do this, is the PlayStation 4's 4.50 update came out this week. Now I have an original PS4. I did not get a Pro or anything, so I don't care about like the boost mode which came out. But the one thing on there that I did care about is the fact that now you can use external hard drives. And this was great because I know especially Brad from Popcorn is going to be like, it's easy. You just buy a laptop hard drive and you pop this open, you put it in, and it's easy, and blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to do that. And I was getting close to I was actually exceeding my 500 gig hard drive that's in the PS4. And I didn't want to like replace it and go through all that hassle and then re-download everything and all that stuff. So I was like, well, I can't wait to use an external hard drive, and that way I don't have to deal with the easiness of buying a laptop hard drive, popping open the case, which I know is very supported by Sony. It's not a hack or anything. It doesn't void your warranty, but I just didn't want to do it. And so I don't care how easy peasy it was to swap out. I didn't want to deal with it. And PS4, the 4.5 update, adds external hard drive support. So I needed one on my Xbox One, even though the Xbox One has had that support for a while. So I went out and I bought two little 2 terabyte, they're the Seagate, like $80 each, 2 terabyte hard drives, USB 3.0 hard drives. And I put one on my Xbox One and one on my PS4. It works great. The only problem is I have an original PS4. And the original PS4 only has 2 USB ports there in the front. And I was already using both USB ports. I had one going to the PlayStation VR breakout box, and the other one was the one I used to charge my other controller. I have 2 DualShock 4s, so one's charging while I'm using the other one, because they don't let me put in AA batteries, so I don't have to deal with it. Unfortunately, the USB, the hard drive needs one of those too, so the controller charging went away. I can actually, if I really need to in a pinch, I can unplug the PlayStation VR USB. Because that's only needed if you're actually using the VR. But yeah, so they don't have a third USB port on the back. I mean, at least the Xbox One has USB ports on the back, so that's what I was able to plug the hard drive in. Because I have Lego Dimensions, so that gets plugged into the side port. But yeah, I went behind. I'm like, there's got to be a third USB port on the back here. They didn't give me just two. And then I look online, I'm like, oh, they did give me just two. That's why I couldn't see it. Thank you for adding that. I can now put some of the games that I had removed back on it and stuff. And also I've been able to do that with the Xbox One. So now I'm ready for the Xbox Game Pass. This was, Kaijudo actually says, just get a controller charging. And I actually have the PSVR stand that has a little controller charging things in it. I just need to like find the room to be able to plug that in. But it also like charges the Moon controllers, and you can set the PSVR headset on it. It's the official Sony PlayStation VR stand or something like that. I think that should work. I tried it once with the controller, and it actually drained the battery in the controller. It didn't charge, so I need to try it again. But the Xbox Game Pass is coming, is hopefully coming, very soon. It's out for Insider members, although even though I'm in the Insider program, I haven't seen it yet, but I also haven't looked really hard for it. But GameSpot reports that Microsoft has announced Xbox Game Pass, a service that offers unlimited access to over 100 great Xbox One and Xbox 360 titles as part of a monthly subscription of $9.99 per month. It's going to launch late spring 2017 and will be available for Xbox One. They originally said it was going to be for PC. It ain't. As detailed on the Xbox.com website, games like Halo 5 Guardians, Payday 2, NBA 2K16, Lego Batman are going to be on it, and then new games will be added every month as others are removed. So the difference between this and PlayStation Now is that the games are downloaded directly to your console, and you can play online or offline in full fidelity without any streaming or connectivity issues. So, and then you will also get, while it's a part of it, you can 20% discount on purchasing a game from the catalog and 10% off all related add-ons. So you can buy the game if once they get rid of it, or right before they get rid of it, and you can get a discount for it. Discounts to add-ons are only available while the base game is currently in the catalog, and Xbox Live Gold is not required to play the games, although you'll still need the Gold membership to play multiplayer in the titles. So what are going to be confirmed? What was confirmed at the time, so this was last week, Fable 3, Gears of War Ultimate Edition, Halo 5 Guardians, Lego Batman, Mad Max, Mega Man Legacy Collection, NBA 2K16, Payday 2, Saints Row 4 Reelected, Soul Calibur 2, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, and then this week, apparently they added a whole bunch of games from 2K. So Bioshock, Bioshock 2, Bioshock Infinite, Borderlands, NBA 2K16, which we already mentioned, WWE 2K16, and XCOM Enemy Within. So the reason that I like this is because you download the games and you don't have to worry about the streaming, which is what PlayStation Now is. Some people take issue with the games being delisted. And I look back to GameTap. This is GameTap, is basically what this is. GameTap was a similar service. It was started by Turner. Yes, the same Turner that does like Adult Swim and stuff like that. It was started by Turner like 10 years ago, 12 years ago. How old is it? I'm old. But it was, they basically had a bunch of games on there, and they had like a whole bunch of like Atari ROMs. They had a bunch of older games, a lot like they had a Sierra collection, but then they had some more recent games. Beyond Good and Evil was on it, I remember, and several other games. But then games would get delisted. And this is kind of the same thing. This is more patterned after something like Netflix, where Netflix delists movies and TV shows all the time, every month. In fact, I see the articles at the start of the month. Here's the stuff coming to Netflix this month. Here's the stuff leaving Netflix this month. And like Hulu does it, Amazon Prime Video does it, HBO Go does it. So that's kind of what they're patterning this after. And everybody's complaining, oh, but you know, when I get a game from PlayStation Plus, I keep it for life, or I keep it until I unsubscribe. They don't delist my game. Well, technically PlayStation Plus delists game every month. It's just you don't lose access to it. But this is separate from the games with gold. This is a separate thing where you just pay $10 a month and you can get, and it's not, you don't have to like pay a contract, so you can just get it for 1 month. And then you can download these games and play them all you want in that month. And I think, like, if your console goes online, you have 30 days. So you could theoretically unplug your console before the game gets delisted. It won't know that the game's delisted, and you get an extra 30 days out of it. Maybe. Maybe. They may actually say, no, this game gets delisted at this time, but then you just adjust the date on your console. You can get around this. You can figure this out. So I think that this is good. I'm not as upset about the delisting as other people because I'm so used to it from Netflix and stuff, and I'm used to it from GameTap because GameTap did the exact same thing where games would be delisted and you wouldn't be able to play it anymore once it was delisted. That is the price of entry. But this would probably be good for people who like just got an Xbox. I'm going to buy an Xbox One, but I don't want to buy a $60 game just yet. Well, you can get this for $10. And then you've got all these games that you can try in your first month. And then constantly new games get put in on the service. Kazan asks, can you use your Microsoft points to pay for this Game Pass? Well, they don't use Microsoft points anymore. It's all wallet So you have a Microsoft Wallet, which actually works across all devices, Windows 10, you know, Windows Phone, if you have one of those. If you're one of the six people that have one of those, I'm not one of you six. I'm so sorry for you guys. But like Windows 10, App Store, Xbox One, Xbox 360, all use the same Microsoft Wallet. They don't have points anymore. And most likely you can't. Or they'll sell the cards in the store like everything else, and you can just buy the cards there. That's how I get my Xbox Live Gold, is I buy the card from the store and it put the code. Kazan says, now I have to use my card or figure out how to eBay it. Like I said, you have a Microsoft Wallet, and that has money in it. And so you just buy the card. It's not points anymore. So it's not, you don't have 2,000, things don't cost 2,000 points anymore. They cost $20. And it actually shows you $20, and everything's in actual prices. It's not confusing anymore. You're not trying to do some funky conversion from points to dollars. Like, all of them went to from using points to actual dollars. And actually, the good thing about this, in some places, is that because the cards are real money, the store can't charge sales tax for it. Whereas when they were points cards, they technically weren't real money, so you would have to pay sales tax on the points card. But then that would get translated to you wouldn't pay sales tax on the online store because you were using points to pay for it and not money. But now with money, with the money cards, you don't get charged sales tax at the point of purchase at the grocery store, the GameStop, or wherever you bought the card. But then you theoretically could be charged sales tax on the Microsoft store or the Nintendo store or the Sony store based on where you live. So the other story that I want to talk about, because both of these are stories I said last week. I'm going to talk about these this week. See, I'm holding up my end of the bargain. It's about the Oculus Rift and VR and the fact that it's dropped its price. So Road to VR reports that an aggressive move that will help lower the bar of entry still further for VR, Oculus has announced sizable permanent price drops for both the Oculus Rift headset and the Oculus Touch controllers, both now cut by $100 each. So now the Oculus Rift headset is now $499 instead of $599, and the Touch controllers, which are sold separately, are now just $99. So basically the whole set will now be $598 retail instead of $798. The Steam VR, the HTC Vive, which is their competitor, is $799 right now. Like, it hasn't dropped price. And you still need kind of a beefy computer, but there have been advances with Oculus's drivers that allow even a smaller video card that doesn't have much horsepower can actually power the Oculus Rift. So they're really trying to get it to where you only have to spend an arm to get it instead of both an arm and a leg. Is it time for you to get it? I would hold off. So don't buy it just yet. Don't rush out. And they do claim, like Nate Mitchell spoke to Road to VR and said that the price cut is actually driven by improvements in manufacturing and a desire to bring more people into VR, not because there's an impending Rift 2.0 announcement. So they claim that it's not because the next version's coming. They just want to get more people into it. I speculated on Twitter, which is where all great speculation happens, is that this was probably in response to the fact that, you know, ZeniMax is going to file an injunction. They're going to have to stop, so they want to sell as much as they can before the injunction comes in. But it was pointed out to me that you can't drop the price like this on a dime. This had to have been planned out. And so it doesn't seem like it's really a reaction to what happened where ZeniMax sued Oculus and actually won $500 million. Because they breached NDA. They didn't breach copyrights. They just breached the NDA. Funny story, John Carmack is now suing ZeniMax because they still haven't finished paying him for buying id Software however long ago they bought id Software. They still owe him $22.5 million of that sale that they have withheld. And they can't, just because they don't like John Carmack anymore doesn't mean they shouldn't pay him that money. ZeniMax bought id Software for like $150 million. And they still have not paid out the last $22.5 million. And so John Carmack's now suing them, trying to get his money. They're like, pay up. So yeah, so the Oculus Rift is dropped down in price. I'd wait to see kind of how the ZeniMax stuff shakes out. I'm still not as much of a fan of the Oculus Rift tracking. I love the headset, how it feels. I love the touch controllers, but the tracking leaves much to be desired. I'm still, if you ask me, I'm still in the Vive camp on the Rift. But you can buy a Rift and touch controllers in Best Buy. I actually saw them on the shelf in Best Buy, so you can actually go get them now. They're not held up anywhere, but I would still kind of hold off and just see how the ZeniMax stuff shakes out, because the ZeniMax injunction we talked about a couple of weeks ago also affects software, including games. Like, it could stop people from being able to sell Oculus Rift games if they're successful. I don't know if they will be or not. I don't know if it's a big game of chicken and Facebook's finally going to settle, but you never know. That's what's going on there. And I mean, I think it's great to get more people in VR. I still think PlayStation VR is the best intro, which I did play this Danganronpa game, which I know Jamie on OLR is really big into that series, and I had no clue what was going on. But it looked like Persona 5. Like, it looks the stylized like Persona 5. But it was Danganronpa, and it's like you're trying to, like, fire truth pellets at people. And it's a free demo on PlayStation VR, so check that out. Dungeon Buster says, why do I have a feeling that an Oculus game that Carmack may have involvement with will have a villain called ZeniMax? He's not making the games, and he works on the technology. Like, Carmack, honestly, at Oculus, wasn't working on the Rift. He was working on the Gear VR. He was all about the mobile VR. He doesn't really care that much about the desktop VR. I mean, that's cool and stuff, and he'll evangelize for it all he wants. But he was working on Gear VR. He was completely just working on the mobile side. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls, see if you got a Switch, and you could talk about it, or maybe you have an Oculus Rift now that they are $200 cheaper to buy, and then I think like now there's like a laptop for $500 that can actually run the Oculus Rift. Like, they've gotten their drivers and the software working to where like a $500 gaming laptop can run the Oculus Rift okay. Like, it's not going to be the best, but they've gotten it to where you won't get sick, and it still is impressive. But maybe you got that. But we're going to take a quick music break and then take your calls. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Woohoo! It's number one.
I thought chatter about video game radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
Want to feel old? That bumper is 11 years old. Wow. 2006. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have been like part of the show for 12 years or however long it's been. And Rob's like, this bumper is 10 years old, feel old dead. Oh, I stole his joke. Yeah, you don't have to steal my jokes either. All you got to do is send me a voicemail, send me an voicemail to the toll-free number or an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. SJ100 Matt is asking a question that I was going to ask as well, but we have a call anyway, so it doesn't matter. We're going to take the call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Guy Judo.
Guy Judo, what's up, man?
Not much. I ain't going to take up too much of your time. I want you to get as much callers as you can.
Okay.
I just wanted to point out, you mentioned the PlayStation 4 update, and
yes.
One of the things that you left out was the 4.50 update. They added some stuff to the PlayStation VR, so now you can watch Blu-ray 3D movies in a headset, like if you had
That's right.
3D television.
Uh-huh.
It looks great, man. The 3D is awesome.
I need to go raid my dad's old 3D Blu-ray stash, and I haven't done that yet. Because he does have some 3D, because he had a 3D TV, which I could never see any 3D in it, but I might be able to in the PSVR. So you are absolutely right.
I think you would. Yeah, and just for anybody who may not be up on the 3D stuff, they have a list online of like which movies have like really good 3D, because mm-hmm. 3D is like an iffy thing sometimes. Sometimes people know how to film in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people know how to edit a film to be 3D. Some people don't. I think James Cameron is probably the master of it, so any of his movies in 3D are going to be great. But
yeah, and I'm pretty sure my dad had Avatar on Blu. I've got a 3D Blu-ray of Avatar.
Yeah, I heard Avatar and Titanic are probably like the two best movies to go with to really experience how great the 3D is with the VR. Mm-hmm. And the other VR update to it was they improved a little bit of the image quality. Mm-hmm. So remember when I called you last week, I mentioned that some of the videos were blurry, like when I checked out YouTube 360 and a few other things. Yeah. And I went back to some of those videos, and they are a bit clearer. It's not like excellent clarity.
Right.
But I can at least make out faces now, like some of the videos. So they did improve on that, and I think that's pretty much all of it.
Main thing they did, the other thing they did that where they improved the image quality is if you exited out of a game and went back to the dashboard, it was still at a low resolution.
And
they fixed that. Like that was one of the small things they fixed about image quality was going back to 2D mode. It was at a lower resolution on your TV than it was normally.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, I'm still on the VR bandwagon.
Yes,
I'm loving it, and I would just tell anyone if you can go out and get any of the headsets that are out, definitely give it a try.
Did you try the Danganronpa demo? It came out this week.
Yeah, I did. I didn't really understand what the heck was going on.
I know. I need to ask Jamie what the hell was going on because I know she won't try it in VR, but I know she's seen a demo because she tweeted me that she actually watched the demo on YouTube. So I will probably ask her. I don't know if she's there. If you are there, prepare for that. I'm going to ask you what the hell was going on in that thing.
Yeah, I got excited. I thought it was going to be like a werewolf. You know, I thought it was going to be some type of social deduction game.
But then it turns out more like Phoenix Wright where you're like throwing pellets at words that are flying at you.
Yeah. Did you get punished by the cat, by the way?
I did.
I did. Every time I play.
I think every time you do, because they just end the demo and they're like, well, why don't we make it interesting?
Yeah.
And then they kill you.
Yeah,
Spoiler alert for the demo, they kill you.
All right, man. I'm going to let you get to some calls.
All right.
Thanks for taking
the
call.
Other people are going to call. All right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, great show as always, man.
Thank you.
Later.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. The other person's already calling in. Let's try this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ACDEFT.
ACDEFT, I heard you finally, Amazon finally got you your thing.
Yeah, finally.
Did you get that thing Amazon sent you? Did you get that thing?
Yeah, I got the thing.
What are you thinking of it? We're talking about the Nintendo Switch. What are you thinking about?
It's hard to explain it, but it's really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are saying that it was supposed to be like the Wii U or something to that extent. Sorry, but yeah, it's definitely better than the Wii U. No, the portability aspect of it's like really amazing. Mm-hmm. No, I took it out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to do some errands. All that stuff, and I took it with me. So while I was waiting, I took out my Switch and started playing Zelda.
Yep.
And I also, like, on Friday night, I was hanging out with some friends that also have their Switches, and we went to a restaurant and started playing too. Mm-hmm. Yesterday also we hanged out again and we played Switch. It's like really amazing that anyone can pretty much have their console and can start playing. And right now we don't have any multiplayer games, but still.
Well, you guys don't. I mean, there is like Fast RMX is a game that actually works with the local multiplayer.
Yeah, I actually want to get that after watching your stream because it does look like a really, really great game.
Yes. No, it's well worth it. But I mean, what I'm looking forward to is the Mario Kart parties.
Yeah, that's
what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, actually, one of our friends doesn't care for Mario Kart, and after watching the latest trailer that they released, she pretty much got hooked, and especially because of the multiplayer aspect. Because and anyone that has a Switch can pretty much get in the action.
Yeah, and I think Mario Kart 8. For the racing aficionados, and then Splatoon 2 is going to be other one that people are going to really be, you know, they're the ones that are going to be sitting, you know, at conventions with their Switch playing, you know, 8-player Splatoon, everybody on their own Switch.
Yeah, Splatoon is going to be freaking amazing. I cannot wait for the Splatfest. I may actually try Splatoon.
I have not played, I never got Splatoon on the Wii U.
It's a really great game.
I know it is. I just never spent the money on it, but I think now I'm going to have to. So I think Splatoon 2 is going to be where I learn how bad I suck at the game that's supposed to be great for people who suck at first-person shooters.
Well, it's a good thing that they're releasing the test fire in a few weeks, so you can try that. And
I'm waiting for the first person in chat to say it's not a first-person shooter, it's a third-person shooter, Bobby. I suck at both of them equally.
It's a shooter.
It's a shooter.
it's a really fun game. It's Splatoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite Wii U games, and I really cannot wait for Splatoon 2.
Yeah.
At the moment it was announced for the Switch, it was the moment I have to get a Switch. Mm-hmm. First day. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
Yes.
But yeah, right now Zelda has all my attention because that game is really amazing. Like, wow. I was a skeptic at first because... Mm-hmm. Well, it was maybe the hype or all that stuff. But no, the hype is real. At least for me, it's like, wow. It's pretty much what I have played all this week, aside Overwatch.
Yeah. Yeah, and I haven't touched that much. So, I mean, I did finally get off the plateau. So, you know, I did at least get off the plateau, and I haven't made it to the first village yet. But I've been, like, playing all the other stuff. I played more, you know, Fast RMX. I played, you know, a little more as I Am Setsuna. I've got Voice now or whatever it is. So I'm not... Because I've never been a Zelda person. I'm not a big Souls person. So I die a lot when I shouldn't. And you know, it's kind of sad. And then my weapon breaks and then I die again.
Which is something that I really like about this Zelda that... You die because it's basically your fault and not the game's.
I know.
I
don't need to be reminded that it's my fault.
Sorry. But my point is that there isn't that much hand-holding mm-hmm. like in other Zeldas, which is really, really great that you have the liberty to do anything, even from the start. Like, you can ignore the old man mm-hmm. and pretty much all the tutorial that you can just jump and do, like, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I
think speedrunners have gotten it down to, what, 55 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't watched any of the speedruns because I don't want spoilers, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the thing about the speedrunning, and this is the funny thing, is that the speedrunning community is really split because the current world record holder uses the Link amiibo.
Hmm.
And it shaves 50 seconds off. He uses the Smash Brothers Link amiibo because that gives you Epona.
Oh, yeah.
That gives you Epona. So it saves like 50 seconds on the run because you get the horse as very early in its Epona. And so some people are saying, well, it's not a true like speed run because you have to have the Smash Brothers Link amiibo, which is like now like one of the hardest ones to find. Which,
yeah.
Damn, I should have gone and tried to get it earlier, but you know, but it's gone now. You'll never find it. It's like probably $100 now. But yeah, I mean, and I actually did watch, because I don't care about spoilers, so I did actually watch the run, and it's basically, he's like, yeah, off the plateau, 10 minutes later, I'm in the castle, and then here's this fight, and this fight, and this fight, and this fight, and you're done. So you don't have to do anything.
Well, maybe they can, like, do, like they always do, the categories, mm-hmm. amiibo category and without amiibo,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's the result.
JD says, my first death was fall damage almost immediately. Yeah, so my first two were trying to get off that damn tower. I kept, like, when you first, like, get the map, like, the really tall tower on Great Plateau, trying to climb down it and trying to jump down it, and I would, like, over-jump the platform. Or I'd, like, land on the platform and then roll off of it and then fall to my death. Those were my first, like, two deaths.
I don't remember exactly my first death, but it was in the snow part in the Great Plateau.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get to one of the shrines there, and yeah, I died because of cold.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on your mind?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So that is it. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And I'm sure they're going to have a lot to talk about. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Is Jamie there?
She is.
No, I'm not. I'm a ghost, and I'm haunting Rob's house because he deserves it.
Okay, Jamie's ghost. What the hell was going on in that Danganronpa class demo?
Okay, so in Danganronpa,
You
get trapped in a school, and the only way to graduate is to kill another classmate and get away with it.
Okay.
So you have a class trial. And that is, if I recall right, I think it's from the first trial, or one of the later ones anyway, but the demo is one of those classroom trials.
Okay.
And with Monokuma being his evil little adorable self.
Are you interested in this VR thing at all? Because Bobby did this through the VR. I know you're not big on the VR because motion sick, et cetera, but Danganronpa.
I watched the demo about 3 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So it was neat. I thought it was cool. I would certainly play a full 3D Danganronpa game, you know, because I could imagine doing the walking through the halls with the VR mode and looking for the clues and everything. It would be an interesting element for the game. I certainly would be interested in at least playing through it that way once, but I don't know if I could do a full game like that.
But you might have an opening to woo Jamie to the VR team.
Yeah, no, they did. They did a good job on the class trial thing because you're standing in one place, so you're not moving. And then, but also, like, they did do some of the good like VR stuff where like the other characters look you in the eye and they follow you if you move your head, and they all like are looking at you and you look back at them and stuff. So they did some of the neat little VR elements. But I hadn't and like the words flying at you and having to fire truth bullets. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but Jamie would like this.
That's actually how you do it in the game is that, I mean, because it's nicknamed Trigger Happy Havoc for a reason, because you actually have to fire the truth bullets to catch the right phrases, and then you have, like, the reversal bullets, and the later games get a lot more complex. But, yeah, it's all an element of the game. I could just imagine, though, how much more complex it would be when it's not in 2D.
Yeah.
And I'm also used to playing it on a computer. I didn't play the PSP ones. I've been playing it on the computer using my mouse.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit easier to me, too.
So, well, now I know what Danganronpa is after hearing you talk about it for so long.
Sort of. I would still suggest play through the first game because I suggested it to Shane because he was kind of hurting for another Ace Attorney-like game.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you and I like the same screwed up stuff, so play Danganronpa. And he's like, I'm obsessed.
And usually it's Shane selling the rest of us on a game. Although there is one game he really tried to talk me into that I'm glad he didn't, and I'll get into that on tonight's OLR. I'll leave that as a tease.
This game actually, the Danganronpa, the class trial, actually looked a lot like Persona in terms of its style as well.
Yeah, it has that same aesthetic to it, I think.
Aesthetic, yes.
But one of the things, though, that I thought is really cool is that Monokuma's voice actor, if I am right about this, was Doraemon. So you have this familiar voice who played this innocent little creature as this now, you know, paragon of evil.
Yeah.
So it was pretty interesting. And the game goes into, like, the difference with extreme despair and extreme hope, so it's definitely interesting what the game does emotionally. It's a lot more emotional than one would think. So that's my selling point on Danganronpa.
So what do you think of now we've had it for 7 more days, Rob, what do you think of the Switch now? Are you still playing it?
I'm actually, oh yeah, I am. And funny enough, I haven't really been playing Zelda. I've been playing a host of other games this week, funny enough. I mean, I still really enjoy Zelda, don't get me wrong, but there's just others, like you said, the store grew quite a bit this week. So I have a visitor in from out of town, an old friend of the show, JD, is here, and he brought some stuff I hadn't really tried on Switch yet. So I've really gotten to sample just about everything out there except for 1-2 Switch, funny enough. Now that I'm especially getting into the other stuff, I'm really getting sold a lot more on the console as just the whole be able to like pick up and go mm-hmm. and be able to play the same thing on the road that you are on your TV. It's pretty cool. I don't think necessarily every game works with it. Like Zelda, I'm actually, you know, as much as I love Zelda, I can't do it portable. But I know a lot of you can, and that's cool. But the text gets too small for me and all that stuff. But
you know, can hold it closer to your face, old man.
I know, right? But there's other games out there that I think are doing a really, you know, that really do work in both environments. Fast Remix being one of them, the one you were playing after the show last week.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I still like it. And I actually did spend several hours with Zelda in bed. We had a great time.
Keep your show PG.
I know. Wait a minute. What's this?
I know, exactly.
does the future Mrs. know about this? Anyway.
Yes.
She'd be okay with it.
Yeah, she was.
I'm also very encouraged by how many games came out just this past week, because we knew Blaster Master Zero was coming. That was the one that, you know, Nintendo was kind of pimping on their indie thing and all that. So we knew that was coming. But then to see that, you know, Voids came out, as well as the Neo Geo Buffet, which the Arcade Archives actually exists on PlayStation 4 as well. These, I don't know if those same games do, though. Mm-hmm. I know there's some Neo Geo games on PS4, but anyway, I mean, the fact that that all showed up too, that's very encouraging for the fact that maybe Nintendo will have enough indie stuff to really float them through these first few months when they have, you know, of course, the big tentpole releases probably once a month, like Mario Kart 8 mm-hmm. Is going to be April's release. It sounds like ARMS will probably be May's. What, Splatoon, maybe June, or maybe out a little further than that. But it sounds like, you know, they've got their big stuff that they're spacing out and then kind of using indies to do that. It's going to be very hard to say there's no games for the Switch if they can keep this up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect to buy another game for a while, and then because I didn't know Voids was coming out in the U.S. I thought it was going to be like a Japanese-only title, and it showed up, and I'm like, I guess I'm getting a new game in the second week, and that's never happened with other consoles.
Yeah, I had no idea that that title was getting localized either. I thought it was something I would have to create a Japanese account to get if I was going to get it, but I wanted to know a little more about it first. So I was kind of waiting for one of my other music game friends to buy it first. And guess what? One of them did, so I finally got to try it this week.
Yep. Awesome. So what else are you guys going to be talking about?
Well, we want to talk a little bit, of course. We'll talk a little bit about the Switch and the big sales going on there, but also Nintendo coming into money through the courts this week. We'll talk about what happened there. And, of course, you know, we're excited about Mass Effect, and there's a little more news coming out on Mass Effect this week, Andromeda, especially with the fact that it was shown at PAX. I'm hoping we'll have some callers that actually got to PAX East this week, because sadly I did not, but I know our friends over at Electric Sisterhood were there, so if nothing else, they will probably have a PAX-centered show this week. Kind of did their usual thing. They probably taped something at PAX this week. So hope to hear that from them. We'll talk also a little bit about maybe a reason to go back and play No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
For real.
And I want to say also, it turns out, because we talked about this, if you want to go to E3, consumer passes are still available.
Oh, yeah, but media passes? Nope.
No. So many, and it's not just people that you know, we know, but like there's some people that I know of, and even some industry people who have been making games for a while. They got rejected for industry passes. E3 said, sorry, you're not in the games industry. And they're like, we have a game on Steam.
This is so interesting to me how this is all going to play out, how that might look. I wonder if somebody might try to do a competing thing if E3 continues to kind of push away the people that built it up in the first place.
But yeah, like, but E3, like a lot of our size podcasts got denied this year, and it's the first time they've ever gotten denied, and they're not, like, at least we're used to it because we've gotten denied.
Yeah.
But now even people like much bigger than us are getting denied. And they're saying, well, you know, hey, consumer passes are still available if you really want to go cover it.
Yeah. That's crazy. I you know, I'm
those 15,000 passes had to come from somewhere because they were already at capacity.
Yep.
I still think that E3 is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
past its prime.
It's going to be a changing year. Either this year could very well make or break the whole darn thing.
Here's my analogy. For anyone who's ever seen Phantom of the Opera, mm-hmm. E3 is La Crolata. The diva passed her prime.
Will it? Well, I don't know if Bobby's going to... Wait, no, Bobby is a musician. He might understand. but is E3 going to croak this year on stage?
I don't know. We need a Phantom. Spiker drink.
Not all heroes wear capes, but that one does. Yes.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf and Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf is where I am. If I do actually like make something on Twitch, if I Twitch stream or something, I post it up to YouTube, I actually put it on the Facebook fan page as well. So you can see it later, or you can submit feedback here on the episode pages here at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show isn't for everybody, but it might be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. And I just realized when I read that, I got a comment, and I said, I have a comment, and I never read the comment that Redertainment put on the show episode 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to save it in this document, and I'm going to read it next week because Redertainment made a really good point about the Switch, but you're going to have to wait until next week, or you can go to VogNetwork.com and read it. That's fine, too. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tatsuya, DC Nate, Ronma, Sky, VHJ6V, Bird, Doomplague, Havoc978, Shadow Nexion, Tiger Claw, ActDeft, Alan Alchemy, Baconovitz, Bonds006, Brad from Pod Culture, Chicken, DeBlueGuy, Dungeon Buster, Fluke, JD, Kaijudo, Kazan, MXC, MXT, Orange Wright, Raginator, Sean 8-Bit, Spiffy, SJ1RMAT, Stoppy, Tiamat, VidPower, William Murderface, and Ziva. So that is it for me. Oh, that's not the right thing. There it is. Played the wrong thing. That's it for me. I'll be back next week and hopefully playing all the right bumpers next time. Maybe. We'll see.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.